Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
David Cobb covers college football and basketball for CBS Sports. Former Grizzlies basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He is on Twitter at David W. Cobb. Cobb, why did you rank Ryan Silverfield ninth as the AAC's best coach?
Well, let me say it was a team effort. Mm-hmm. There were multiple voters in the AAC.
I'm sorry.
I only see one byline on this, David Cobb.
Honestly, I didn't have him much higher than that. Like I wrote in the blurb, he's kept the train on the tracks, but he hasn't done anything to demonstrate that he has great promise as a head coach. So I think he's done a C-plus level so far. But, when you look at who he's following in Justin Fuente and Mike Norvell, the expectation and that bar has been raised so high that it feels like getting to a bowl game now at Memphis is kind of the bare minimum. And he's done that to this point. But it's a program that has shown the capability for a whole lot more. And with the AAC about to change dynamics dramatically with those top teams leaving and those top coaches leaving and some of those CUSA teams coming in here after this season, the door is open for Memphis to be the best team in that conference for as long as they're in it. And the question is whether or not, you believe Ryan Silverfield has the ceiling as a coach to get them to the top of the conference.
He was up from 9 to 7.
Yes, Ryan Silverfield was at 7, up from 9 a year ago. The rankings go in this order. Luke Fickle 1, Gus Malzahn 2, Holgorsen 3, Numata Lolo 4, Willie Fritz 5, Philip Montgomery of Tulsa 6, Silverfield 7, Mike Houston at ECU 8, Rhett Lashley, the new coach at SMU 9, Jeff Scott at USF 10, and then Stan Drayton, who I did not know who he was, but he is apparently the new Temple coach at number 11.
Willie Fritz also proves be nice to the media.
Yeah, well, it's a
tough job.
Well, it's like Ryan Silverfield has had more success at Memphis than Willie Fritz has had at Tulane, but everyone just goes, it's Tulane.
Yes.
Come on, it's Tulane.
And he's very good with media.
Yeah.
I will say the middle of the AAC is wide open from a coach strength perspective because, obviously Fickle is one. Malzahn is at two, largely based off of his track record. Holgorsen made a huge jump this year because he actually got Houston going in the right direction in year three. After that, though, it's just a total wash in terms of how you view certain coaches and then how much you weight their track records and what they've done in the past. Because even Niumatalo Loa, I had him lower than 4. He was up at 4 because my colleagues must have had a lot of faith in him in this ranking because, Navy has not been that great over the last 4 years. I think you're banking on Niumatalo's past to put him all the way up at 4 in that ranking. And then, I actually thought Mike Houston could have been higher because I felt like East Carolina was really good last year and just a couple of plays away from beating some really good teams. I think they were in it until the end against, South Carolina and Virginia Tech and whatnot. So,
They get NC State at home to start the year.
South Carolina hit a field goal at the buzzer to cover 2.5. I remember that.
Yeah. In some other, some, some, I guess, tertiary Memphis football news. They got a commitment just now in the last hour from Ryan Glover, a grad transfer quarterback from Cal. He played one. He started one game for Cal last year, was 10 of 29 for 94 yards in a 10-3 loss to Arizona. Previously played at Western Carolina and Penn. So it's quarterback depth. I don't think that, even though the headline will say they got a quarterback from a Power 5 conference, but this is a guy who's being brought in to back up Seth Hennigan.
It was also in the loss to Arizona. Arizona was one of the worst teams I watched last year. They did play hard, though. Mm-hmm. That was also like a COVID game where like half of Cal's roster was gone. But it should be noted, 10 of 29 on 3 yards per attempt.
Ooh.
So he was checking it down and not even checking it down.
So there's some.
Hey, I don't think Seth Hennigan has too much to worry about.
Yes.
I think Seth Hennigan's going to be fine.
Yeah. What along those lines, are they going to be fine? You mentioned how the AAC is about to change after this season. Since we last had you on, Memphis announced some pretty serious renovation plans for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. A $150 to $200 million
really
renovation.
Rolls off the tongue, Cobb.
Yeah, that they want to have done. They're saying they're going to have it done by the beginning of the 2025 season. We'll see if they can get their ducks in a row in time to do that. But I'm curious, from your perspective as someone who covers this on a national basis, do you think ultimately this is going to help them whenever, if ever, the Big 12 decides to expand again, or basically whenever the wheels of conference realignment spin again? Are they going to be on the right side of it the next time because they're now doing this?
Oh, it's well timed. I think it certainly helps. There's no guarantee, but I think it's strategic the way that they've gone out and trumpeted this thing as much as they have, because I remember talking about this with you guys about a year ago, and they were leaking out these plans and blueprints and renderings and such, you know, well before really anything was set in stone. And now they're having press conferences when they don't even know for sure exactly where every dollar is coming from. And so when you look around the country and see stadium renovation projects in college football, some even of a greater magnitude than this, you know, at the Power 5 level, you know, a lot of times there's not necessarily a press conference to go along with it. It's just a release with some renderings and a canned quote or something. And so Memphis is kind of rolling out all the stops to make sure this thing gets blown up as much as possible. And I don't blame them for that, because I think that's been one of the knocks on their candidacy for a power conference is Liberty Bowl and Memorial Stadium. And if you give that thing a facelift, put some serious cash into it, you know, it could certainly be Big 12 caliber, you know, type of venue. So I think they're removing one of the main hindrances to their admission to a larger conference. And it's, you look around the country and, you know, really of who's going to be left in the Group of Five conferences, if the Big 12 does want to expand, you know, where else are you going to look, honestly, unless you're going to look at some of those Mountain West teams? I mean, that would be, you know, my biggest fear from the Memphis side is, does somebody from the Mountain West, you know, beyond Boise State, you know, kind of get into that mix. You know, there's some good football being played out there in the Mountain West now, and they're geographically aligned in some cases with the Big 12 as well. So, but, you know, if this stadium comes to fruition as designed, I think it absolutely, you know, makes Memphis, you know, the class of who will be left in the Group of Five.
What do you think happens next in realignment? We're now starting to see, you know, some exit fees are getting negotiated. I assume, you know, we saw Bob Bowlsby get removed. I would imagine a lot of that would have to do with, all right, they're trying to negotiate the exit of Texas and Oklahoma. But I thought Pete Thamel had an interesting story late last week over at ESPN.com, kind of pontificating, it seemed like somewhat educatedly, that the next step in realignment is essentially one of the two big power, we keep talking Power Five, but as he points out, you know, within 5 years, the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten and the other three is going to be about $50 million a year per school. So he kind of insinuated that one of those two leagues might take the first step of adding more, and then against, I guess, is the best way to say it, Mark, kind of beginning the breakaway?
Well, he pointed to also the fact that the Pac-12 is the next league that has media rights negotiations opening up. and in 2023. And if that deal doesn't go right, like, could that lead to, you know, USC looking somewhere else, you know, Oregon looking somewhere else?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's sort of what he pointed. The point of the article was everyone is focused on name, image, and likeness, and like trying to corral name, image, and likeness, and they're ignoring what is actually the big issue that needs to be addressed.
A structure?
Yeah, needs to be addressed. Like, this is, like, essentially name, image, and likeness is a symptom of this bigger picture problem that they're, like, basically ignoring at the moment.
Yeah, if Greg Sankey wants to drive a breakaway, I think he can. To me, he's the most fascinating figure in college sports right now because he's going to chart the course for what happens at the very tip top of the college sports realm moving forward. And I think the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have the financial resources to compensate their athletes outside of name, image, and likeness as employees, if they so choose to do that. I think the money is going to be significant enough within those conferences to where they will be able to pay the track and field athletes and the tennis players and the golfers and everyone who competes at those sports without maybe even having to cut, like was always the argument that you used to hear. But you know what? Outside of those two conferences, I don't know if the others are going to have those resources. So if you get to a place where the SEC and then maybe the Big Ten decide to compensate every athlete as an employee, then there is a line drawn and a distinction that becomes greater than just, oh, Power Five, Group of Five. You know, it then becomes employee versus student-athlete. And then I think you see a true breakaway in that point because then by definition, you're talking about two very different hemispheres of competition. You're talking about professional sports. So, I mean, to me, that's where we're headed within the next 10 to 15 years. And before we get there, make no mistake, there will be more moving pieces. Like the potential for Memphis to get into the Big 12 remains significant. But in terms of like the larger landscape, we're not even close to done. I mean, I think we're going to look back at this 3 or 4 year window that we're in the middle of right now with NIL and with the one-time transfer rule as one of the most influential periods of college sports history. And not just because of what it means in the moment with all these changes, but because of what all these changes could eventually lead to.
See, I'm now starting to wonder if... So the Big Ten obviously has to get their TV deal done first. And I believe, what, Cobb, that's the next 12 months? I know they're the first one up.
Yeah.
And so...
And they're putting $1 billion, you know, that's kind of the number you're hearing. So
I don't think they're going to... I don't think they're going to move first. I think they want to get settled and then kind of assess the landscape. The ACC has continued to drag their feet because they're trying to force a situation where Notre Dame has to join their conference, and they've yet to come up with an actual plan to make that occur, and I believe Notre Dame is probably listening, but I don't think they're listening to the ACC. It does feel like this is prime for Sankey to make another, you know, make another move at the end, and he's basically said, like, he was willing to work with everyone. They didn't get it done. And now he's just going to kind of look out for number one. And to me, I can see a world where the SEC expands again before the Big 12 even does.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.